All right, let's all humbly come before Almighty Yahweh. Almighty Father Yahweh, we bless your holy name, Father, as we gather together in it and celebrate and worship you as you have called us all out of the world, out of everything that's going on around us, the chaos, the peace. We're here, Father, for you and to help enrich us and our spirits to learn and grow more, Father. Father, I am but your humble servant, and I pray, Father, that your words flow through me and speak unto these people, Father, and those who are listening near and afar, and that if anything is of me, that it would just fall by the wayside and not be remembered, Father. I pray in the name of your Son, Yeshua, amen and hallelujah. Okay, you can all have a seat. I tell you, just as a side note, we learn of others' talents as sometimes not even realizing. I'm walking in, I'm just going to give a plug out there to Sister Debbie. I mean, she must be related to Samson. I saw her push like 7 chairs with one hand. It was amazing. Anyway, and also I just want to say thank you to all the many hands that go into, you know, I don't do this all the time. And when you see all the work behind the scenes that goes on, all the stuff that goes into just putting this together, it's a lot of work. And it's even if it's a small contribution, everybody downstairs, we've got people downstairs, we've got people up here, everywhere, all put in their heart and their time and their effort. I just want to say thank you. And pretty soon, one day, I don't even know what this is going to be like, because behind this wall here, when we remove this wall, it's going to be totally different experience. There's a lot of work going on behind the walls here to make this a lot better service and also have everybody together, because right now we've got a lot of people downstairs. They're not able to sit with their families, and I mean, it's a huge blessing that's coming. So praise Yahweh. All right, anyway, I just want to put that plug in there. Okay, I get my notes together here. All right, so the power of your words. Before there was light, there was a voice. Before the sun, the moon, and the stars, the oceans, the mountains. Before Adam, the first man, took his first breath, Yahweh spoke. And what he said came into existence. Genesis 1:3, and Elohim said, "Let there be light," and there was light. The very first act of creation was not done with hands. It was done with words. Words were the tool of creation. When Elohim made you in his image, he didn't just give you eyes to see. He didn't just give you hands to build. He also gave you a mouth to speak and to form words, not gibberish. You have all been given a gift. Speech, a way to communicate. And with this gift of speech comes great responsibility. And the scriptures, they have a lot to say about the words that we speak. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In Numbers 14:28, say unto them, as truly as I liveth, saith Yahweh, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Matthew 12:37, for by thy words you shall be justified, and by your words you shall be condemned. This means your words that you speak, they're not just empty words. They're not just sounds that we make with our mouth. They're seeds. And every word you speak is either planting life or death, blessing or cursing. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, name it and claim it kind of thing, as some preachers out in the world do, or praying about things that you wish for outside of Yahweh's will. But the words that we speak, the words that comes forth from inside of us, out of our mouths, has power. By your words, you can build someone up. Or you can destroy them by your words. For instance, if you were on a jury, you can condemn a man to death. You have the ability to create and influence people and perspectives. By your words, you have the power to bless and to curse someone. Just that last verse we read in Matthew 12, by what the Messiah stated, should have all of us somewhat concerned and cause us to think about what we say. So, let's just talk about some of the physical characteristics of our tongues for a moment. Our tongues are considered a muscular organ, covered with a moist pink tissue called, I copied this, mucosa from a science. It is flexible, strong, and made up of interwoven muscles that allow for precise movement. The surface is covered with tiny bumps called papillae, and which many contain taste buds. This structure makes the tongue essential not only for taste, but also for speech, chewing, and swallowing. So the taste, you know, our tongue is the primary organ we taste food with. Everybody loves food. The organ for taste containing taste buds that detect sweet, sour, bitter, salty, and flavors. So with knowing that, you know, all your taste buds are on your tongue. And so just a side note is when I go to, you know, the local burger place down the road, and they always seem to put the toppings, the lettuce, tomato, the onion, the mayonnaise, all the stuff. They put that's supposed to go on the top. They put it on the bottom of the burger for some reason. I don't know why they do this. So I just take to flip the burger over. I like to taste all the meat first anyway. Our tongues are used for chewing and swallowing. The tongue helps manipulate the food in our mouth during chewing and helps guide it towards the throat for swallowing and speech. In humans, the tongue is essential for articulation, helping to form words and sounds. Isn't it interesting? It's really interesting to me that most all animals, including fish, have tongues. Yet aside from humans, only birds really seem to have the ability to speak languages. I do believe that they have the ability to speak. And the only record I have of proof of that is in Numbers 22:28, where Yahweh opened the donkey's mouth to speak to Balaam. So who knows what the future holds, but all animals have tongues and the possibility they could potentially speak, who knows, in the kingdom. Other functions, the tongue also plays a role in oral hygiene. It helps by keeping your mouth clean, by moving food debris. But for the purpose of this message, you know, we're going to focus on the speech aspect of our mouths. So let's look at how does the Hebrew define our tongue. So Hebrew's, the Strong's lexicon, has a lot of words that's descriptive. So that word is lashon, tongue, language, speech. It's also, what's interesting is it says evil speaker, language, talker, tongue, a wedge. There's one in here. I think it says the tongue of men is used for an instrument of licking, eating, or speech figuratively, a fork of flame. The tongue is primarily what we use to help vocalize and enunciate and pronounce the words that we speak, which can be used for good or evil purposes. It has the power to build and destroy. I'm just going to ask you this. Has anybody here ever heard of or been accused of Lashon Hara? It is a Hebrew term. It means evil speech. Lashon actually is is from the tongue, and hara is, you know, the evil or the evil tongue. It refers to any negative, damaging, or derogatory talk about another person, even if it's true. It is considered a serious transgression in Jewish law, often equated with other severe sins like murder. While the term Lashon Hara itself isn't explicitly used in the Tanakh, which is the Hebrew Bible, the principle is rooted in biblical direction against gossip, talebearing, and harmful speech. And we're going to look at some of those verses. So the first one, Leviticus 19:16. Thou shalt not go up and down as a talebearer among thy people, neither shalt thou stand against the blood of thy neighbor. I am Yahweh. Exodus 23:1. Do not bring a false report. There you go. There's another episode of Lashon Hara. Do not put your hand with the wrong to be a malicious witness. In Psalm 34:13, specifically talking about evil and your tongue. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. These are all good principles we should all remember. Another good example is in Numbers 12, and this is a good example. And I'm going to, if you guys will flip to me, I don't have a slide for that. This is a really good example of this. Miriam and Aaron are basically speaking out against Moses. So we're just going to, it's real short, we're just going to read through this. And Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, has Yahweh indeed spoken only by Moses? Has he not spoken also by us? And Yahweh heard it. Now the man Moses was very meek above all men which were upon the face of the earth. And Yahweh spake suddenly unto Moses and unto Aaron and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, unto the tabernacle of the congregation. And they three came out. And Yahweh came down in the pillar of a cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forth. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, Yahweh, will make myself known unto him in a vision and will speak unto him in a dream. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all my house. With him I speak mouth to mouth, even apparently, and not in dark speeches. And the similitude of Yahweh shall be he behold. Wherefore, then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of Yahweh was kindled against them, and he departed. And the cloud departed from off the tabernacle, and behold, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron took upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, alas, my sovereign, I beseech thee, lay not the sin upon us, wherein we have done foolishly, and wherein we have sinned. Let her not be as one dead, of one of whom the flesh hath consumed when he hath come out of his mother's womb. And Moses cried unto Yahweh, saying, heal her now, O El, I beseech thee. And Yahweh said unto Moses, if her father had but spit in her face, she should not be ashamed 7 days. Let her be shut out of the camp 7 days, and after that, her be received in again. And Miriam was shut out from the camp 7 days, and the people journeyed not till Miriam was brought in again. And afterward, the people removed from Hazeroth and pitched in the wilderness of Paran. This is quite a story. Story of Miriam and her gossip about Moses is a prime example of Lashon Hara and its consequences, including punishment with leprosy. Your tongue can be used as a weapon or a tool, and how you use your tongue is up to you. So in verse 12:14, because Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of his Cushite wife, and they questioned his executive role, his exclusive role as Yahweh's spokesperson, Yahweh responds by affirming his unique relationship with him and strikes Miriam with leprosy as judgment. You know, in cultural context, referring to the spitting in the face, you know, today this would be looked at as something that is like uncalled for, really bad. But in ancient times, in ancient Eastern culture, for a father to spit in his daughter's face, it symbolized shame and public rebuke. This was not literal abuse, but a severe expression of dishonor and disapproval. So the logic behind this is even if a natural earthly father's rebuke would result in a period of shame, how much more fitting is the consequence when the offense is against Yahweh himself? So what we just looked at, these are all examples recorded for us of what can be referred to as the evil tongue, which can destroy. We can hear words spoken by Almighty Yahweh. If her father had but spit in her face. I say, wow. In the book of James, James 3, he talks about the tongue. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great, and are driven off fierce winds, yet they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of Gehenna. For every kind of beast and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Therewith we bless Elohim, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after similitude of Elohim. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be to be so. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Our tongues, we bless Almighty Yahweh. And like a double-edged sword, we have the ability and the power to curse our fellow man whom is made after Yahweh. Proverbs 12:18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. So I want to ask you, what kind of words are you speaking? Are you speaking words that build or words that destroy? How do you speak to your coworkers or your friends or your family or your children? Colossians 4:6. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Words create an influence. You, all of you, listening and here, who have chosen to follow the truth. Fellow followers of the way, you were created in the image of Yahweh, with his likeness, and now you are considered to be his children. You know, children inherit a lot of the same traits as their parents. And a lot of times, you know, we as parents can see that in people's children. You can see, you know, people's last names originated from the type of work that they did. And that's how children would learn from their parents, and it became like a family trait. When Yahweh created the world, he spoke, and it came to be. And in some small likeness, you have the same echo of creative authority, not only in the spiritual realm, but in the physical. For instance, you might influence your family to go have ice cream together just by asking. Or you might make plans to build a house just by talking it over. Or you might make plans to build an assembly years before you even think it comes to fruition. It's just a few words. It's amazing how powerful they are. We order food. Isn't that interesting? When you go to a restaurant and you pull up to the box and you speak with your words into the box, electronically goes to the other end, and the lady or the man who's on the other end, they hear it, and then it turns into food. How about a physical threat by our words? How is that taken by people? So your words have great power, and people take that into a lot of consideration of what you say. So we need to be mindful of what we say. Importantly, most importantly, following up with what we say with our actions. Don't make promises that you can't keep. I think that lets more people down than anything, because there's people accounting on you. I can tell you, I remember, and there's something that children remember things like, and we as adults, we have so much stuff going through our head. We have the tendency to move those things out of our mind because there's so much going on. But a child, promise a 7-year-old you're going to take him fishing and don't do it. He'll remember it the rest of his life. Happened to me. I'll still never forget. I would cut the man's grass across the road just as a gesture to help him out. He said, "You know what? I'm going to take you fishing." I was like, "All right, man." I was so happy. Looked forward to that day. The day came and looked out the window, and he never showed up. Not even a phone call. You don't forget things like that. So don't make promises and commitments that you can't keep. Commitments you're not willing to do. You know, if we expect Yahweh to keep his promises, and that's the whole reason we're here, you know, he promises. He's not like man, and he cannot lie. We should be keeping ours too, as he expects us to. Treat your word as gold, like it is one of the most valuable things that you possess, and honor it. From the beginning of when I came here, as, you know, things and opportunities, I'll say, presented themselves, where I was asked to do something or whatever it was. It could have been something minor or big. Elder Randy pulled me aside and he said, "Look, Chris, you know, I just want to let you know, you can say no, you know." And I think it's because, you know, people count on you making those commitments. If you say you're going to do something, back it up. What about vows or oaths? They're held in higher account in the Bible. Ecclesiastes 5, 4 through 6. When you make a vow to Elohim, do not delay to fulfill it. He has no pleasure in fools. Fulfill your vow. It is better to think about for something for just a moment. Just, let's just, as Brother Michael says, tap the brakes here. If Yahweh was to judge you right now on your week, or judge your week based on the words that you've spoken, what would the verdict be? Would it be You know, what kind of words are you speaking? Idle words? Cynical words? Jokes that really aren't funny? Reckless speech? Venting? Please know, all these carry some heavy weight in the heavenly realm, and they're all being recorded. You should be thinking about that, like he's standing right over top of your shoulder. I mean, I know it's a heavy burden to think about, but the truth is that we are held to a higher standard, and we'll be judged by those words. So I want to give you just a useful tip here. Why not? Why not just do this first thing in the morning? Why not begin your day as soon as your eyes open? Before you even, I mean, you have to breathe, but as soon as you, before you even like function yet. I'm not functioning until I got like a cup of coffee in me. But before your eyes open with a prayer of thanksgiving and a declaration of faith, frame up your mindset and frame up the world around you for the day as Elohim did in Genesis. Doing this is an excellent way to start your day while keeping you in a humble state of mind and by putting Yahweh first. So just by doing those little small things, it changes your mind, your mindset, to frame up the rest of your day. Your words can bless or curse. James 3, 9 through 10, I know we read this earlier, but James is rebuking those with a double tongue. You can't bless Yahweh and curse his people that are made in his image. Here's another example of this. In Numbers 22 through 24, Balak, the king of Moab, who hired Balaam to pronounce a curse on the Israelites. Numbers 23, 11 through 22, and Balak said unto Balaam, what hast you done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, must I not take heed to speak that which Yahweh hath put in my mouth? In Numbers 14, Yahweh responds, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Watch your mouth. Yahweh hears and is listening. Malachi 3:16. Then those who feared Yahweh talked with each other, and Yahweh listened and heard. And a scroll or a book of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared Yahweh and honored his name. We who know our Father's name and speak to each other often, he's watching us even closer. And I think that's something that we really need to take into account. Watch your mouth. As I remember my parents scolding me for something I said, now inadvertently, I know everyone has heard this at some point in your life. Complaining can inadvertently curse your destiny. Speak the promises of Yahweh, even when your circumstances in your life don't agree. Read and pray. Speak the Psalms out loud. Angels even take notice and listen, hearkening, they listen to Yahweh's words. Angels are listening to Yahweh's words. So when you're speaking Yahweh's words, the heavenly realm, the spiritual realm pays attention. Psalms 103:20. Bless Yahweh, all ye, he has angels that excel in strength, that do his commandments. Hearkening, I have a heavy finger. Sorry, guys. Hearkening unto the voice of his word. So when you speak Yahweh's words out loud, the spiritual realm takes notice. So your words of faith can activate more power. So in Mark 11, 20 through 24, let's listen to the words of the Messiah for a moment. And in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remember, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Yahshua answering, saith unto him, Have faith in Yahweh. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you have received them, and you shall have them. I think it's interesting to find that we find here that Yahshua, first, he didn't say to pray unto the mountain. Yahshua said to speak to the mountain. Speak to the mountain. Wasn't Moses told to speak to the rock? That whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. These are not my words. These are the words of the Messiah. Think about this for a moment. And we heard a message about Peter last week. When Peter stepped out onto the water, what did he do first? Did he speak first? Did he speak it first? He asked the master to tell him to come unto him until doubt kicked in and his carnal thinking took over and he sank. You know, in my household, when my children are growing up, we have a few non-traditional bad words. One of those was, I can't do something. I would not allow them to say this. You can ask Jonathan or Andrew. I'm sure both of them will tell you they weren't allowed. This was a bad word. If you say this out loud that you can't do something, you've declared it. Then you can't. You can't do it. Period. You've spoken this and you've created this mental barrier that immediately causes doubt to kick in and take over. You have already forbidden yourself before you've even started. What would have happened if Noah would have said, I can't build that boat. Are you crazy? Moses said to Elohim, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh and I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? Well, we all know this story. Keep reading and you'll see the dialogue between Moses and Yahweh. He didn't want to hear, I can't do something either. In Romans 10, 8 through 10. But what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of belief which we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth the Master Yahshua and believe in your heart that Elohim has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart believes unto righteousness, and with the confession of the mouth, with the mouth, you so is saved. Getting a little dry. With that being said, I mean, that's a lot. The words that we say out of our mouth, we're making a confession unto salvation with our mouths, the same mouth that we pronounce words of good or bad. So let's begin to speak Yahweh's words over our life and cast good seeds, no matter who they're directed at. I love this psalm. I love it. It is. If you read Yahweh's words, it will do this to you. Psalms 19, 7 through 9. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of Yahweh is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. These are the words we need to be converting ourselves with, studying and reading out loud every day. So, in closing, let's all be mindful of the words we're saying to ourselves and others. Let's set a guard over our mouths not to speak curses unknowingly, and if we have, repent of these things and not committing the Lashon Hara. Speak and breathe words of life, words of hope that create, bless, and build each other up. Because we're, in the end, you know, we're all going to live together in a kingdom. Whether you like it or not, we're going to see each other a lot more. So you better get used to each other. With that, may Yahweh bless you.